Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. You know, at some point, each of us have feelings of anxiety. Had any lately? A sudden change can leave us feeling unsure about what the future holds. However, there's never a time when God is unsure. He's in control, even when our lives become fractured by the pressures of this old world. And the Bible clearly tells us what we're supposed to do when worries and concerns arise. According to Matthew 6:25, don't be worried about your life. 1 Peter 5:7 says that you're to cast all of your care, your anxiety, on Him because He cares for you. Anxiety comes when we feel as though our circumstances are beyond our control. Keep in mind, nothing is beyond God's control. When anxiety approaches, do you wonder what happened to your peace, your joy? Jesus Christ is your source of true peace, of course. When sorrows come, He calms your heart. When financial difficulties increase, He provides for each need, right? Oswald Chambers said, "When you are in the dark, listen, and God will give you a very precious message for someone else when you get into the light." Psalm 46:10 says, "Hey, cease striving and know that I am God." Isn't that good? Be still within your heart and allow Him to do for you what you can never do for yourself. Calm those fears. God cares for you today. His love is unconditional. And His word promises that He's going to meet all your needs. Philippians 4:19. Isn't that good? So, how do you think you would respond to this? This is truly selfish behavior from people who claim to be devoted to the Word of God. Those are the words of one Washington, D.C. resident. For weeks, Sean Freund has presided over thousands of massless worshipers experiencing the joy of salvation, even as America grapples with the terror of the plandemic. From California to Nashville, the evangelical leader has defied public health experts and local officials with his Let Us Worship tour, leaving behind fear of super spreader contagions in already hard-hit areas. Now this guy's grand finale is set for this weekend at the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and federal officials appear to be doing absolutely nothing to stop this man and his expected 15,000 worshipers, with the National Park Service approving an application to hold a demonstration or a special event without mention of any guidelines to mitigate the pandemic exposure. "It's just disgraceful," says Lawrence Gostin, a professor of global health at Georgetown University who advises the World Health Organization. Anyway, he said, "This violates D.C.'s COVID plan, and it's almost certainly going to lead to a super spreader event and cause many, many new cases and hospitalization and death. It violates virtually every principle to mitigate this pandemic." Yeah, that's what they want you to believe. Put on your mask, get in the train. Good grief. Where's my gun? Speaking of getting my gun, how about this one? There's one anti-abortion pledge that President Donald Trump hasn't kept, and oh, the left's so excited. That's his promise to defund Planned Parenthood. Instead, federal funds to the women's health care and, oh yeah, health care, and abortion provider grew during the first 2.5 years of his administration. Government reimbursements and grants to Planned Parenthood hit record levels in the group's fiscal year starting 2017 and 18. According to its most recent financial disclosure, even as the administration and Republicans in Congress and around the country endeavored, mostly unsuccessfully, to cut the provider out of the government revenue stream wherever possible, Planned Parenthood won't release its next report until the end of the year. Doesn't matter. They are an evil, evil group. Planned Parenthood. 3,500 babies murdered every day. What part does Planned Parenthood, we're boasting that revenues went up to this group? Okay. Some people at the prayer meeting last night had a big question mark on their face and wanted to pray for the Pope. Really? In a documentary that premiered Wednesday in Rome, Pope Francis called for the passage of civil union laws for what? Same-sex couples, departing from the position of the Vatican's doctrinal office and the Pope's predecessors on this very issue. The remarks came amid a portion of the documentary that reflected on pastoral care for those who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer. Homosexuals have a right to be a part of the family. They're children of God, have a right to a family. Nobody should be thrown out or be made miserable because of it. Pope Francis said that in the film. That's his approach to pastoral care. After those remarks and in comments likely to spark controversy among Catholics worldwide, Pope Francis weighed in directly on the issue of civil unions for same-sex couples. What we have to create is a civil union law. That way they are legally covered. What has happened in the popery here? Here's a good story. In this year in which listening to the scientist has now become a political issue, voters in Southern Oregon will have the opportunity to put one in office. Art Robison, running for state senate in Oregon's District 2, worked on medical and defense issues during the Reagan administration and energy issues during the presidencies of Bush and Clinton. A former colleague of Nobel winner Linus Pauling, he was a member of the biochemistry faculty at the University of California at San Diego. Political decisions can be complex, but they must always be based on the best possible factual information, especially when it's available. Where's this going? One proposal by Oregon's legislature that Robison contends is not based on the best information is a 50-cent per gallon tax to combat climate change that he believes is going to destroy the economy. A five-time Republican nominee for the U.S. House in Oregon's 4th District, Robison said the state lawmakers pushing the legislation are being informed by pseudoscientists. Well, that's true all over the country. They want to scrap hydrocarbon energy. And he's arguing that nearly the entire human race depends on machines powered directly or indirectly by hydrocarbon fuels. Robinson is known for his petition signed by more than 31,000 American scientists and engineers who blow apart the claim that there is a scientific consensus that humans are causing catastrophic global warming. He contends in a fundraising letter, and the choice on November the 3rd is really between our federal constitutional republic, based on individual freedoms and responsibilities, which has created the greatest nation in human history, that's on the one hand, and a descent into total chaos based on socialism and ultimately communism on the other hand. That's your choice. Oh, I like this guy. How about you? And something is happening in major sports events. The NFL is down, and, well, this is a record setter right here. The Rays and Dodgers World Series opener, that was Tuesday night, drew a 2.4 rating among adults, 18 to 49. That's the worst rating ever in a World Series game won. More news right after this. Here's something to think about. Have you ever wondered what life would be like if you had lived during a different time in history? Or how you would have reacted if you'd been involved in the turmoil or the triumphs of some other culture? Why did God have you live now, in this place where you're living right now? You know, when Paul was in Athens, he did not gear his sermons toward a specific group because its audience was very diverse there. However, from the faithful to the pagan, the Athenians to foreign merchants, the one thing that bound them together, those who listened to Paul, was the need for Jesus Christ. So Paul proclaimed, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and their boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God. If perhaps they would seek God, they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Acts 17. Whether you feel your place in history is a privilege or a difficulty, you can take heart then it was not a mistake. William Law admonishes, if we are to live unto God at any time or in any place, we are to live unto him at all times and all places. You have been created to love God and make him known to other people. You are perfectly situated to complete wonderful plans that he has for your life right where you are. Therefore, take a few moments to tell him how much you love him today. It's a thought, kind of far-fetched, but still a thought. Rush Limbaugh said yesterday that Hunter Biden may deserve some, what, sympathy today, suggesting the son of Joe Biden intended for his laptop with bombshell emails and photographs incriminating both him and his former vice president father to be seen by all authorities. Limbaugh went so far to say that revelations about Hunter Biden's business deals in China, Ukraine, and elsewhere are not about Hunter Biden. They're about Joe Biden and his sale of political influence for personal gain. Hunter Biden may actually be worthy of our sympathy. Really? You know, the FBI subpoena of a laptop and a hard drive purportedly belonging to Hunter Biden came in connection with a money laundering investigation in late 2019. According to documents obtained by Fox News and verified by multiple federal law enforcement officials who reviewed all of this, and it's unclear at this point whether the investigation is ongoing or it was directly related to Hunter Biden. Multiple federal law enforcement officials, as well as two separate government officials, confirmed the authenticity of these documents, which were signed by FBI Special Agent Joshua Wilson. Wilson did not immediately respond for request of a comment there. One of the documents was designated as an FBI receipt for property form, which details the Bureau's interaction with John Paul MacIsaac, the owner of that Mac shop, who reported the laptop's contents to authorities. This is going to get deep. Going to happen in Minnesota, more trouble. A judge has dismissed the third-degree murder charge Thursday against former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin in connection with the death of George Floyd in May. Judge Peter Cahill denied part of the defense's motion, and Chauvin remains charged with second-degree murder and manslaughter. This is an interesting thought. Who said that? Do not discuss politics or religion or football. It will only lead to fights and it'll cause hurt feelings. You know, I'm wondering how many of my neighbors are looking at me funny now because I have a Donald Trump sign in the yard. Some guy just stopped in his pickup truck and said, "Hey, God admire you, pal, for putting all that Trump stuff in your yard." There are a few around like, "Really?" And now down south, it's everywhere. I guess in Indiana, you're not supposed to do this. Anyway, now that Costco, here's something, is part of the cancel culture, are you going to shop at Costco? And this is the real question. One guy says, "I don't care. I would not cancel anything. I wouldn't cancel people making those burritos in the food truck if they have a Biden sign there. I am able to separate someone's personal politics from their public service." So someone said something you don't like, or you want to punish them or her and all the employees that work there. Come on, who cares about any of that? That's a good point, sir. If I had to look into personal politics of everyone I did business with, I would just be exhausted all the time, and I wouldn't be able to go to that restaurant, eat dinner there, be with those friends here, get a cup of coffee there, and I wouldn't be able to walk the dog down this street. Growing up, we used to have a saying, never discuss politics, religion, or football. It only leads to hurt feelings, la-da-da-da-da-da. What do you think, my friend? Who said that? Am I the only one that has noticed rioting has stopped since the Democrats figured out it hurts them in the polls? Oh, and I put this one on my Facebook page. Somebody put a picture of women in the 1950s looking gorgeous in those beautiful dresses. And then a group of girls sitting maybe in the lunchroom here with their blue jeans on, and it looks like they've all been attacked by a bunch of grizzly bears. What a difference 50, 60 years makes, huh? Hard to believe someone would spend $150 for a pair of torn-up blue jeans. Oh, I know you got this one. It's kind of strange how the Whitmer kidnapping, Governor Whitmer in Michigan, how that kidnapping story just kind of disappeared when they found out the bad guys were Antifa and BLM anarchists. Well, that's a good point. Joe Biden never built a single business, never created one job. And you're supposed to believe he's going to build USA back better than ever. Really? Oh, and this one's better yet. I would paint my entire house with a Q-tip before I ever voted for Biden and Harris. Where's my Bible? Next. Greg Patton Ministries and the Cross Church, that independent work in Fort Wayne, Indiana, thanks you for listening to Hello World. They're the main sponsors of the program, along with this radio station carrying the broadcast today. It's a big deal to take a big part of our day and share with you news, information, and comment for the Christian. There is so much in the left-leaning news media today, or lamestream media, as we call it. Yeah, we need to hear the truth, my friend. So again, we say thank you for listening, telling others about the broadcast, and supporting us financially. Great need there all the time. And Greg Patton Ministries coming to your church, great idea. Whether it's a day or a week or whatever, we would love to share the Word of God and challenge you on a revival in your own heart. Get in touch, gregpatton.com, GREGPATTEN, and like us on Facebook, too. We love all the new friends that are joining daily. Again, thank you. You know, God has revealed the secret of personal fulfillment and success in life better than anyone else, but most of us miss it. In our materialistic society today, we are trained to grab all we can and look out for being number one. Our noble concept of the rugged individualist and the self-made man miss a very critical truth. Even in the church, we tend to focus on leadership there. Sure we do. Being true to ourselves and finding our ministry. Instead of simply calling someone a servant, I'm a servant of God, we feel compelled to use a phrase like, I'm a servant leader. History and scripture stand against this wave of self-satisfaction. Am I correct on that? Samuel stated his posture in God's calling by replying, Speak, Lord, for your servant. Get it? For your servant is listening. 1 Samuel 3, verse 9 and 10. 19th-century preacher and one of my favorites, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, urges us to serve all your life. And today, John Maxwell said the first step to leadership is servanthood. I know many pastors that have been considered, highly successful in life, but boy, they can be personally defeated. All of us can. One pastor said, I was burned out, I was empty, I was miserable. From the outside, I appeared to be doing everything right. The church thought I was on top of it. I was preaching the gospel. I was fulfilling the Great Commission, building a ministry, Christian school. But on the inside, everything was messed up. I was out of fellowship with God, tormented by impure thoughts, and headed for destruction. Then just as David cried out from the pit, I begged the Lord to deliver me. And he did, praise the Lord. He set my feet on a firm foundation of his truth. And in this process, I've come to understand the significance of Jesus Christ's statement that the servant is greatest of all, there in Matthew 23:11. Ministry must be centered around a purpose, not a personality. Hey, you need to grab that concept. You'll begin to look at people that you can help. If a marriage is faltering, you should want to jump in there and help discover the love of Jesus Christ and how you can help. If a pastor struggles with sin, we should want to help him overcome that. If a child needs food or water, we want to meet the need. In serving others, you develop new relationships with people. Man needs to find out that he becomes lesser, and when he does, then he becomes greater in the eyes of God, because God will get the greatest glory. Yeah, we need to humble ourselves to serve other people. Matthew 25:40. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me, Jesus said. Jesus gave his life for these people. We need to begin to give our life to people. In return, he begins to fill us with an abundant life. And who listening to this program doesn't want an abundant life? Truly, that's what we're looking for. By losing my life for his sake, I can find life again. By becoming his servant to helpless people throughout the world and right in your community, you'll find a personal and professional fulfillment and success in life. Yes, we live in a materialistic society. It's easy to put our needs above the needs of others. Yeah, me first. But Jesus always put others before himself, and he expects us to follow that example, does he not? Interesting stuff here from James Robinson. He said he met a missionary named Peter Pretorius on a trip to South Africa, and his testimony had a transforming effect on Robinson's life. He told of his success as a prestigious tobacco farmer and a race car driver who lived totally for himself. That was before he decided to share God's message with people in neighboring Mozambique. When he traveled there to arrange a series of evangelistic meetings, his drivers failed to return for him at the appointed time, and what was going to be a two-day trip, 48 hours, lasted a week. During his unexpected stay, Peter saw unimaginable suffering. People were literally dying at his feet. Every day, another 20, 25 malnourished adults and children were buried. He witnessed it all. Wouldn't that be something? Peter helped an elderly man find a resting place against a tree and went to get some water. He cried when he came back and discovered the man was dead. Returning home to South Africa, Peter asked friends and neighbors to help buy food for these people. He rented a truck to transport provisions to Mozambique, and so began his first extensive feeding program. At his invitation, Robinson said he and his wife went to witness the operation and saw some of the most unbelievable scenes they'd ever encountered. Little ones covered in dirt, wearing stained clothing, worn in shreds. They looked at us shyly. Many exhibited the dangers of malnutrition, bloated tummies, patches of orange discoloration in the hair, open sores on the legs. Their smiles drew our eyes from their rags to the anticipation that was on their faces. Once we initiated personal contact, many soon wanted to hold hands and embrace us. Some hugs. Thousands of children lined the road as our team set up to feed them vitamin-rich meals, the consistency of oatmeal. They were so very happy to get a basic need. Upon returning home, Robinson and his wife knew that God wanted them to be involved in the project, to give their own finances and inspire others to support these missionaries, to ones that lay down their lives every day. You know, the scriptures place the primary focus on the joy of giving in life, not on the return that you get. Acts 20:35. Jesus offers us the supreme example of what it means to give, right? He gave his life for us, knowing there was nothing that we could give him in return. It's an honor that our Creator allows us today to express his nature as we serve others, or should be. He owes us nothing for our obedience. We owe God everything for Christ's obedience in his death and resurrected life. While Jesus did state that he came to give us life more abundantly, many people mistakenly believe that Jesus came to give us abundance in life instead of abundance of life. There's a big difference. God's not opposed to you having things, but he's deeply concerned that things do not have us. Remember, God's rewards far exceed the value of anything earthly or anything temporal. He may give us the means to afford a new car. Maybe you have a nice home, but he's most interested in giving us a new spirit and an eternal home. And he's also interested in blessing us so we can, in turn, bless other people.
How you doing? And finally, it really is, I guess, how you word it or how you think about a thing. The farmer driving along the road had a load of fertilizer. Little boy playing in front of the house saw him, called, "Hey, what you got in your truck there, sir?" "Fertilizer," the farmer replied. "What are you going to do with that?" asked little boy. "I'm going to put it on strawberries," said the farmer. "Hey, you ought to live here," said the little boy. "We put sugar and cream on ours." Yeah, things are not always as they seem. That's it. Had my say for another day. This Thursday, got any big plans today? Oh, what did you get out of the word today? I'm always asking that question. We need to be on top of it, my friend. You have been listening to Hello World News, information, comment, lots of opinion, and all that stuff every day at this time. Tell a friend about the broadcast and join the thousands who do every day at this time. Thank you so very, very much. Ever in Fort Wayne, stop by and see us at that independent church on Winchester. It's called The Cross. Thank you for being here. Thank you for giving us your time each day at this time. Trust you're going to have a great Thursday. I look forward to Friday. Tomorrow, God bless.